John chapter 4. I want to read several scriptures to you. And the message today is a functioning priesthood of all believers. A functioning priesthood of all believers. John chapter 4, verse 21. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall ye worship the Father. Ye worship that which you know not. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for such that the Father seek to be his worshippers. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24, our Savior has taken bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And now 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Unto whom coming a living stone, rejected indeed of men, but that God elect precious, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 9, but you are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may show forth the excellencies of him who calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Revelation chapter 1. Unto him who loves us and loosed us from our sins in his own blood, verse 6, and he made us to be a kingdom, to be priests unto his God and Father. And then again, it says in chapter 5 that we are made a kingdom and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. And then chapter 20, verse 5, the rest of the dead live not until the 1,000 years should be finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Over these the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for this marvelous light into which thou hast brought us. We were once darkness as well as in the dark, but now thou hast translated us into the kingdom of thy dear Son. We thank you for this,
our Father. Having been translated, having been made new creatures in Christ Jesus, with the Apostle Paul, we would ask the question, Lord, what wouldst thou have us to do? And we desire to learn a little bit about this from the several scriptures that we've read this morning. Show us, Father, what we are, how great thy salvation is, what our blessings are. Show us also our responsibilities now that we are thy children. We thank you for all who are here. Thou dost know the need in every heart. Thou dost know that some are suffering physically. Some, Father, have spiritual problems. Some have sorrow. Think of them all. And by the ministry of thy word, be unto them and impart to them the help that is needed. We confess our sins, Father. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. And glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I said the message was not the priesthood of all believers, but a functioning priesthood of all believers. This is an assembly distinctive among those that still establish the things that remain. A functioning priesthood, because there is no distinction among us when we acknowledge the priesthood of all believers. You may read, as I was reading just yesterday, a learned Church of England man who acknowledged the priesthood of all believers. But having said that, having commented on it from a scripture that made that statement, what else could he do? He hastened to add, but even though all believers are priests, there is a distinct body in addition to them, a clergy above them. I see. He did not give any scripture to substantiate that. He spoke about those that are functioning as priests, and he placed himself among those that did function as priests. But if this is so, and I read you five references telling us of the priesthood of all believers, you must lay hold on that truth because it will deliver you from denominationalism and from clergy and laity, and will encourage your heart and fill it with boldness to draw nigh unto the Lord, which thing was unheard of until the time that Christ came. Even when the children of Israel were God's people in the book of Exodus, God said to them, stay back, even the priests. Let them not draw nigh. But now in New Testament time, it says, having then a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast the confession of our faith, for we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted like as we are. Let us therefore draw nigh, draw near with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What God is telling you is this, that there are privileges that are yours and you are not availing yourself of those privileges. The priesthood of all believers, why, that is a thought staggering in itself, but a functioning priesthood is something that is unknown among even evangelical groups because they have no meeting at which the priests as a whole can function. They say, why, yes, we do. Why, we have 11 o'clock service. Tell me when all the priests function there. They say, well, our pastor gets up and he reads and gives out hymns and Yes, tell me. You say, no, that is not it. Well, when is it? You say, we have no meeting that is open for the priest, the priesthood of all believers, to function. No, but thank God, we in the assemblies do have a meeting where the priesthood of all believers can be put into motion. And it occurred a little over an hour ago. We came together around the Lord Jesus Christ, and the priests stood to their feet one by one, and they functioned. And that is what God has longed for from the very beginning. If you have read the book of Exodus, you will discover that God originally intended for all the nation of Israel to be priests. But somehow that never came to pass. But when the Lord Jesus came upon the scene, the thing that God desired of old that was never realized was realized in His people. And now it's true. In the Old Testament, God looked at the 12 tribes and He said, Levi is the tribe that shall be permitted to serve me, and of that tribe, the family of Aaron shall be the priest and shall draw nigh unto me. And so that meant that immediately 11 tribes were excluded from drawing nigh unto God. And if you had anything to give to God, and if you wanted to be interceded for by God, you had to do it through a priest. But this is not so today. And this is what I want all of you to understand, that each one of you who has been born again into God's family, you are a holy priest, and you are a royal priest, and your privileges are identical with mine and are as full as mine. And this is something that cannot be grasped by the world. You do not have to come and ask me to approach God and intercede for you, because the Lord Jesus has told you to draw near with boldness to the throne of grace. Who could imagine such a thing? In the Old Testament, only Moses was permitted to draw nigh unto God when he was in the mountain. And only Aaron was permitted to draw nigh unto God one day in the year. And now he says to all of us who have been cleansed by the precious blood of Christ, you are priests. It is your privilege to draw nigh unto me. And therefore two things are answered. We have a meeting in which the priesthood of all believers can function, and at that meeting, the function of the priesthood is that of worship. It says in John chapter 4, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. And our evangelicals emphasize that Christ Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. God is seeking sinners. And the Savior said yes. And having found those sinners, God is seeking worshipers. And that is what happens if all goes according to the plan of God. When the Lord Jesus seeks and finds you, you become a priest. And then God seeks from you as a priest that worship that is due His name. But what has happened is this. Whereas the world holds to the doctrine of the priests of all believers, they do not practice the priesthood of all believers. And we who do hold that doctrine and have a meeting in which we may function as priests, we do not avail ourselves of that privilege. It's like this. Paul, in writing to Colossae, said concerning Archippus, tell Archippus to take heed to the ministry which he has received in the Lord, that he fulfill it. There was a responsibility upon him to minister to the saints of God, because that is what God wanted. And in like manner, I could use those words and say, take heed to the priesthood that God has placed upon you, that you fulfill that priesthood. Because God in the Old Testament had told every Israelite what was expected of them, and God has told every Christian in the New Testament what is expected of them, what he expects of you. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, unto whom coming, Christ, a living stone, you also as living stones are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. When have you offered up spiritual sacrifices to God acceptable to him through Jesus Christ? When? You must understand that there are times when God wants you to function as a priest alone. There are times when God wants you to function as a priest collectively. And the remembrance meeting is the place where we function collectively. When the Lord Jesus, speaking of prayer, told you to go into your closet and shut the door and to pray unto God in secret, that is when you pray to God individually. That is a particular day. But when he says, and he says it so many times, gather my saints together unto me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, he says, gather my saints together. Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And whether it be for judgment, or whether it be for the remembrance of the Lord, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, what is it then, brethren, when you come together? He said, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. But they did come together, thank God. And they came together around the Lord's Supper. And there were disorders then. But at the same time, if we come together around the Lord who is in our midst and do not offer unto God spiritual sacrifices acceptable to him through his Son, then of what use is it? When a man came to God in the Old Testament, he did not ask, he demanded. He said, all of you Israelites that are males shall appear before me three times in the year, and not one of you shall appear before me empty. You must bring something when you come. And so, if you are fulfilling the command of the Lord Jesus, this do in remembrance of me, thank God for that. But there is more. When you come to remember what the Lord Jesus did for you, he said, when you come, I want you to do something for me. I want you to worship me, and I want you to worship my Father. Because there is no meeting more conducive to worship than the Lord's Supper, because Christ is preeminent there. He is in the midst. Now listen, he said this. He said, this do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me when you break the bread and when you drink the cup. And so it's a time when we think on him. And when you think on Christ, your heart will have some kind of reaction. Remember this. When Peter had been told by the Savior that he was going to deny him three times, and he did, it said the Savior turned and looked at him. And it said when Peter thought thereon, he went out and wept. And so in like manner, if you are gathered round our Savior, and you look at the loaf, and you look at the fruit of the vine, and you think of the Savior who loved you and bore your sins in his own body on the tree, and shed his precious blood that you might be made clean, then when you think thereon, something will happen in your heart. And what man fails to understand is this, that all true worship arises spontaneously from the heart when man considers the worthiness of God and the greatness of the attributes of God as they're exercised toward his creation. That is when man worships. And when man thinks of the worthiness of God, he worships. In Revelation chapter 5, when the Lord Jesus Christ, having met the challenge, who is worthy to take the book and to loose the seals thereof? And John said, the universe of God was searched, and no one was found worthy. And John said, I wept much. And then he was comforted. He said, weep not. The lion that is of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book, to take the book, to loose the seals thereof. And the Lord Jesus came, and he took the book out of the hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he took the book, it says that the living creatures and the elders, it said they burst out with these words, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive the power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Why? Because he was worthy. They considered the worthiness of the Son of God, and worship arose spontaneously from their hearts. And that is what Christ is speaking of in John chapter 4. He said, and I read this to you in weeks past, in Matthew chapter 15, he said concerning the nation of Israel that were going through the motions, he said, in vain do you worship me. He said, I want no more vain, empty oblations. He said, I want to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And worship is not something that has to be brought up. But when guided by the Spirit of God, you consider the worthiness of God and His Son and the greatness of His attributes as they are exercised toward His creation, worship will spontaneously arise from your heart. And that is why at the remembrance meeting, the Lord Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. And do not limit the Lord's Supper. Because some say, it is a remembrance of his death. He did not say, a remembrance of my death. He said, this do in remembrance of me. And therefore, we can remember the Lord Jesus Christ in his fullness. We can remember him before he became flesh. John does. John tells us in chapter 12 that Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he saw these angelic beings in heaven saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And when Isaiah saw it, he was prostrated. He understood the holiness of God, the greatness of God, and he said, woe is me. But then God touched his lips. And then he was able to speak. And in like manner, when we consider the holiness of God and the greatness of God, we say, woe is me. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed us from sin. And it says in Revelation 1, listen, it says, he loved us, and he washed us and loosed us from our sins in his own blood. Then I'm not a slave to sin anymore. Then I'm not unclean because of sin anymore. And not only that, but it said, he has made us a kingdom of priests. And therefore, every child of God is part of a kingdom. Now, think of the various figures that God gives us of his church. In 1 Peter chapter 2, two things are there. It says, we are living stones, and we're built up into a holy temple. So, what God had desired to do in the Old Testament, he desired to have a tabernacle and then a temple that he could dwell in the midst of the people. Now God says, I do not want a tabernacle and temple anymore, but you, my people, constitute the temple of God, and I'm going to dwell in you. But then immediately he goes to the figure, we are built up a holy temple, an abode of God, but then we are not only the temple in which God abides, but we are the priests that function in that temple as well. He's made us into a temple. Upon this rock I will build my church. But then the church having been built and is a temple, we function as priests in that church. And these are the many figures. We're the body of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. We are the temple of God. Individually and collectively. Because it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, know you not that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And in chapter 6, know you not that your body is a temple of God and the Spirit of God abideth in you? And so individually and collectively, we are the temple of God and we are priests of God. And may I ask, what would you think of a priest who was at the altar and the sacrifices were brought, but the priest stood there and never offered the sacrifices on the altar? You would say it would be a remissness that would never be forgiven by God. But the sacrifices are there and they are to be offered. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ expects of you. God, since you are a priest, expects two things. In verse 5, he expects you to worship, and in verse 9, he expects you to display his excellency to the world. So think. In the first instance, as priests, you are to offer up the sacrifice of praise to God. And so the fruit of our lips, that's Godward. But it says in verse 9 that as a royal priesthood, we have to show forth the excellences of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I have a responsibility to the world to live as a priest of God. Over and over again in the Old Testament, you have these words, worship God in the beauty of holiness. And that's what it says about us. We are a holy priesthood. And these words, to worship God in the beauty of holiness, think of Aaron now, because here he comes in his garments of glory and beauty, and each garment has a spiritual significance. And what God expects of us is this, to translate the physical, symbolical meanings of those glorious robes into practical morality and Christ-likeness, and to walk before the world in the beauty of holiness, to worship God, yes, but also to display before the world the excellences, the virtues, the praises of God. And so each Lord's Day morning or evening, you have the responsibility to come and offer the fruit of your lips to God. That is your Godward responsibility. And having done that, it is your responsibility to walk through the world as a representative of Christ, and for the world to see in you all that Jesus Christ is. Why, that is the work at which God is busy today. He is conforming us to the image of his Son, and nothing will win the world more than Christ's likeness, because they look at us. And it says, even those that hated them in the book of Acts, when Peter stood up and with the boldness of a lion preached Christ Jesus, it said, they took knowledge of him, that he had been with Jesus. And so if you come to meetings like this and go forth, then your life is to be of such a character that the world takes knowledge that you have been with Jesus, that you have been worshiping in spirit and in truth. And something of the remembrance meeting goes forth with you when you go out into the world. This is what God expects of you. Now listen, what the Lord tells us about worship is threefold. He tells us in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies wholly acceptable unto God, a living sacrifice. You say, then I offer myself a sacrifice to God. Yes, and what is so interesting is that in Leviticus chapter 7, symbolically, that same thing is to take place among the children of Israel. But then, it says in Philippians chapter 4 that when a gift was sent to the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul spoke of that gift as a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God, of a sweet savor. So, we offer God ourselves, and we offer God our substance, and then in 1 Peter chapter 2, we offer God our speech. And therein is where most of the children of God fail. Because They do not know how to worship. But worship is this. Worship is looking at the symbols that God gives in the Old Testament, understanding them, and then translating them and interpreting them with our lips. That is what it says in Hebrews 13. It says, we are to offer up to God the fruit of our lips. And what does that mean? It means that the sacrifice in the Old Testament had a significance to it. And God himself understood the significance, but he wants you to understand the significance of it, and then come and tell him. And that is what is to be done each Lord's Day when we gather around the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you'll find that from the beginning, many, many things were put together when the Christians came to obey God in the things that they continued steadfastly in. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayers. And they came together, and hour after hour after hour. But then, eventually, they took this into its part. And at times they said, this is a ministry meeting where apostles' doctrine is taught. And they said, this is a breaking of bread meeting where Jesus Christ is remembered. And when that happens, that is when we come together, as it says in 1 Corinthians 14. What is it then, brethren, when you come together? Every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a revelation, hath a tongue, hath an interpretation. And what is so remarkable is that we do not need the tongues anymore, because the tongues were but an element of worship to God, because tongues were never meant for man. It said, prophecy is for man, but he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh unto God. And when they came at first, when they came with a hymn, God was being glorified. And when they came with a tongue, God was being glorified. And that is what God wants today. He wants us to come, and he wants us to sing praises to him collectively, but then he wants us as individuals, having the whole week gone through our garden in the Word of God, to bring forth the best fruits, and then stand to our feet and offer God the praises. It was evident that the theme of the meeting this morning was the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. At times it's the Lamb of God. At times it's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. At times it's the suffering of Christ. But if you have been gathering through the week portions from the Word of God, then when you come as a priest, every male among us, as the Spirit of God gives us utterance, will stand and praise God. Yes, we can think of a hymn because some of us are not as articulate as others, and we think of an appropriate hymn. But try of your own heart to offer your own lips something individual to God. And then when we come together, God will have discovered us not only as sinners and saved our souls, but he will have discovered us as worshipers, and Jesus Christ will be well remembered. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. For such doth the Father seek to worship him. Be found of the Father a worshiper, and come not empty. The meeting is, the time is gone, let us pray. Our Father, we do thank you that you have given us this great honor. Had you saved us from our sins, that would have been enough, but you've made us kings and priests, our God. And then you permitted us to come nigh, not only to ask blessings of thee, but also to come and give back to thee the Son that you gave to us. Our Father, we are thankful for the priesthood of all believers. Let it never be taken from us. Our God, thou dost know that so often a privilege that is ours that is not taken advantage of is taken away from us. But let us come together the first day of every week, and let us break bread and think on thy Son, And as we think on thy Son in his worthiness and in all of his attributes, our God, let us worship him and let us worship you in spirit and in truth. Let us be those, our Father, found acceptable in thy sight.